Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Another quick rant of truth with Tyson Harley here on the Scales of Truth. Today, we listen to an admission, and then we analyze why we already knew this and what it really means and how they're using words to just admit less than what we really did already know and what the real scandal was. Very quickly, that they lied about the RO factor. You were never transmissible for 14 days in any real extent. The RO factor, if you recall, was if you get the virus, how many people are you going to give it to? And it was based both on social elements, like how, you know, active people were in socially and across the culture. And then it was based on, you know, how transmissible the deal was and how long you could be transmissible. And so they said up to 14 days. And back in March of 2020, I believe it may have been April, but it was to the Scales of Truth 11. I said, no, I've looked it up. The regular flu is about 2 days. It shouldn't be that much different than the regular flu. And they say the transmissibility is 5 to 14 days, not 14 days. If you operate off of 14 days, you have not weighted it in any way. So first she says, this is Dr. Walensky from the CDC, that, you only need to isolate for 5 days because basically 85% of any transmissibility is within 5 days. It's not 14, and she admits it as much, something we knew back in April of 2020 because I didn't pull it out of my butt. I found that information. Two, she admits that the PCR tests are garbage for Omicron, and we will analyze why it's not that it's garbage for Omicron. It's that the implication is that it is generally garbage. So you're going to hear a variety of clips, some from Good Morning America, some from just a press, like a kind of a White House press conference, and others where Walensky says over and over again, we're not going to require a negative test because you can be positive for 12 weeks. And that is well beyond transmissibility. People would be self-isolated for 12 weeks. So we're gonna pick apart what this really means, and just the bare admission itself is also simple enough to be very important. Let's listen.
Let me make clear that we are standing on the shoulders of 2 years of science, 2 years of understanding.
Okay, so first in this regard, she says 2 years. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we did know in March and April of 2020 that 14 days was a massive political exaggeration as to how long these would be transmissible. You could be asymptomatic for up to 14 or 21 days and still be given it, as discussed ad nauseum if you're in previous episodes like the Scales of Truth 11 and others, Chemology and so on. If you're not symptomatic for 21 days and you basically never had anything to transmit. Let's continue. But yes, we've known it for 2 years. So it's not that, oh, now we've developed and now we have this new breaking information. No, it's just that they're admitting the information that we already knew and acting like it didn't apply back then. So it's like we can keep learning. No, you knew this already. You just didn't use it politically. And now it's so far past the pale. We want to act like we've learned something newer and newer.
Transmissibility and a lot of information that we have gleaned from the wild type virus, as well as the alpha and delta variants, and more that we continue to.
Let's stop right there. The wild type virus. You hear that? They're trying to get you off the trail of the fact that, as I've said many times, there's a November 2015 article of 2015 that said we have attached a spike protein to a mouse backbone, making it more transmissible to humans. I have those screen caps up on my social media. I have made videos on that. Notice how they say it's the wild type virus as well as its variants. So here we are talking about variants.
To learn every single day about Omicron. We do know the vast majority of viral transmission happens in those first 5 days. Somewhere in the 85 to 90% range. So if a person can isolate for the first 5 days, they absolutely should. Many are asking, why do we not require a test at the end of the 5 days of isolation?
Here we go. So why not a test? Now let's back this up. I want you to think through this. Remember, the test, I've covered this many a time. for Omicron, as was admitted in one of the very earliest articles in South Africa about it, or at least in Africa, talking about it, said, hey, for PCR testing purposes, at least, we don't have an Omicron test. No, instead, we just say, does it match on the stable coronavirus two versions that it checks for? And if it does, but it doesn't match on the spike protein, that thing that is the signature of coronaviruses from the COVID-19 family, if it doesn't match, we assume it's Omicron. So just as we said before, if I am looking to see if you were at the scene of the crime, then I check against the DNA samples, the only thing that test is for is to expressly show whether you were at the scene of the crime. It doesn't then it doesn't then prove that someone else was there and who it was, or I should say, it doesn't prove who was there. And so they've had a logical mismatch, an absolute basic philosophy and logic mismatch of even trying to apply this test. It doesn't apply. The test does not apply to Omicron, because they've admitted the only thing you get if you have Omicron, allegedly, is a positive on the coronavirus portions, the long-term stable versions that is common to most coronaviruses, but they have a mismatch on the spike protein portion. So, of course, you don't have a test. You don't have a positive test. So now the question is, well, why don't you require a negative? Why don't you require a negative after these 5 days of isolation? So let's hear that again.
Require a test at the end of the 5 days of isolation for those who are infected. We know that PCR testing would not be helpful in this setting, as people can remain PCR positive for up to 12 weeks after infection and long after they are transmissible.
Okay, they can remain, quote, PCR positive for 12 weeks after infection and long after they are transmissible. So hear this, and here's the implication too. How is it that if the test doesn't even match for spike protein, but regardless of what it matches for, that it can be positive on the PCR test for 12 weeks, okay, for any corona? So this goes to how accurate was it ever? If it can match on the more stable coronavirus portions that are not the spike protein, how is it that can ever be positive for 12 weeks? And she, of course, admits that you're not transmissible. I mean, obviously, you're not 3 months transmissible. 3 months, all right? And so she goes, without saying it, we have a crap test, okay? And if you put any of that background into it, you know it's generally a crap test. Whether that's due to sensitivity or because they designed it poorly to begin with, or the sensitivity is catching just remnants. It's probably that the sensitivity is catching remnants, and she doesn't just want to say, hey, maybe this could work if you make sure the sensitivity is no higher than 28. But if she doesn't want to have to admit the game of the sensitivity being up to 40 and 42 cycles instead of 35, the last number of cycles at which even Fauci admits you would find anything but dead nucleotides, period, then she has to say, hey, you can be positive for up to 12 weeks, which means all of those positives, especially obviously the asymptomatic ones, could have been from something from 12 weeks before, yet we are isolating, shutting businesses down, and so on. 12 weeks, you can be PCR positive, but that's long after you were transmissible. So let's go back just a little bit and we can rehear that part.
To 12 weeks after infection and long after they are transmissible and infectious.
To the question of why we didn't recommend an
The rest of this, although it's handy to hear her say that to be so committed to this is going to be repetition. People are going to be asking, well, shouldn't there be a negative? You'll also hear that science types act like this is purely political. That's cover. Oh, you're just trying to make a compromise for the economy. No, you're not. You're a liar. You know the science as well as she probably does. They reference some major science type who just wants to act like, oh, well, that's pretty lenient, you know, and so that you don't think, no, it's not that it's pretty lenient. It's that it indicates it's garbage now and it was garbage all along. And so they want to get you thinking, oh, well, that he's just purely compromising for the economy. And you can ignore that. That person is a planted poor opposition to change your perception. So we're going to hear repeats of this, but it's basically going to be saying the thing. But it's helpful that she said it in many different places, just so you know. She is committed to this. She didn't get misstated. So let's listen to this.
Antigen test. First, we know a PCR test would not be viable because that PCR can stay positive for up to 12 weeks, for months and months.
And Dr. Walensky, other public health officials have criticized these new guidelines, saying that they should include a negative test.
So this one's on, it looks like an NBC Today, like a morning show. This is a current one.
That should be necessary for someone to be able to leave that isolation period. Why is that not included in the new guideline?
Yeah, really important question. I'm glad you raised this. So what we do know is that the PCR test after infection can be positive for up to 12 weeks. So that is not going to be helpful. You're not going to be transmitting during all of that period of time. We've seen that in study after study.
You don't say.
So speaking of testing, those new CDC guidelines.
So this is somebody else asking the same thing on ABC now.
Announced this week, reducing the isolation period from 10 to 5 days. Many are applauding the move, but you're also facing some criticism for not including a test out policy. Former Surgeon General Jerome Adams said that this is not about the best science.
So here's the thing. I mean, if you understand just how high level of the political just perception opposition might be, it's all the way up to a Surgeon General saying, well, why don't you have to test negative out of this? He knows why, but he's still the high-ranking opposition to make you think this is actually a compromise and not merely just that it was bad science from the beginning. A Surgeon General. So let's listen to the little bit of this again. Let's go here.
Surgeon General Jerome Adams said that this is not about the best science. It's more of a compromise to keep the economy open. Why didn't you include a testing component?
Now, the question of why we didn't include a test there is simply because we know that PCRs can stay positive for up to 12 weeks. So we would have people in isolation for a very long time if we were relying on PCRs.
So do you believe?
So one more time, guys, it is not that you are not transmissible and the PCR is good, but still gives you a positive for up to 12 weeks. It is that the test is bad. It does not apply. It's a poor test, but she doesn't say that. She walks around it. She says everything but that. Well, it can remain positive for 12 weeks, even well past it when it's transmissible. That means your test does not work. That's what that means, but she's not going to say that.
Dr. Walensky, that after those 5 days, though.
This is now on MSNBC.
Even with the mask, that person should test negative before she or he heads back out into the world, before they go to a New Year's party, before, let's say, they go back to school on Monday. Should they show a negative test as well as wearing the mask?
Yeah, really important question, and this has been raised. So we have recommendations for isolation, and in those recommendations, we do not recommend a test for several reasons. First, we know the PCR test can stay positive for 12 weeks, so months. Your PCR test can be positive. If you are waiting for a negative PCR, you'd be isolating for months.
People can remain PCR positive for up to 12 weeks after infection.
So that's during a press briefing. The rest of it is repetitive. But again, guys, the repetition of the, well, why wouldn't you do this and that? Oh, she's getting criticism. There we go, dude. I mean, it's 12 weeks, so you could be positive well after it's transmissible, which means you have a bad test. And if you do just that little bit of analysis that going back into what we've found out, that the test itself does not actually test for Omicron. The positive assertion is just merely the fact that it partially matches but doesn't all the way match, and then you add an assumption. If it doesn't match the spike protein, instead of saying it could be any number of coronaviruses, they say it's Omicron. So it's garbage, and that's why she can't have a test to test out negative, because there isn't a test. All right, guys, that's it. But we have the CDC director admitting this. And this is probably, you know, as those of you who are looking for exemptions and other things, start telling people, hey, no less than the CDC director admits there's no test for it. Well, she didn't admit that, but you can at least say 12 weeks with no that where it could be positive when it's definitely not. So why don't we just end the emergency? Okay. If we're down to the point of we got to start arguing in the emergency, because supposedly we're to Omicron, which is nowhere near as, so why do we have the emergency? Because unfortunately the deferring of the courts are that it's an emergency. So the Congress has to start saying, because of these things that have to be fact-based, that is no longer an emergency. And then the courts can't defer, because almost the entirety of the court deferral logic is going to be based on, yes, but it's an emergency. It's a pandemic. You argue the basic facts and it becomes a de novo review. And you don't have to argue that in court. You say these are the basic facts. And because of that, we are ending the emergency. And then those deferrals don't hold anymore. If at least one branch of the United States government is in disagreement with the other, then we at least don't just have a simple, well, we're going to defer to what the executive says unilaterally because we are in an emergency. They at least have to then discuss whether or not we're in an emergency. And then they would have to defer to the Congress's statements. All right, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.